Welcome to the Connected Insurance Podcast, presented by Agency Revolution. Listen to interviews with the most influential people in the insurance industry. Learn the most important strategies, tactics, trends, and challenges facing today's independent insurance agents and brokers. New episodes every Wednesday. Visit agencyrevolution.com and click media to explore the Connected Insurance family of resources for insurance agents and brokers. Subscribe today and get updates delivered right to your inbox. And now, without further delay, the Connected Insurance Podcast.
Hello. Michael Janz, co-founder of Agency Revolution, where we automate your systems, engage your customers, and help you grow your agency. And I want to welcome you to this episode of the Connected Insurance Podcast, where it's our job to find the geniuses, innovators, movers, and shakers in the insurance industry, and to discern and deconstruct what they do to help you grow your agency faster. And, of course, I want to welcome you to this particular episode. As you can tell, or have probably figured out, I record the intro after I record the conversation with my guests. And I do that simply so I can give you a heads up for your listening pleasure and so you know can know what to expect. Today's guest is a longtime colleague and friend of mine, Marty Agather, who I am sure thousands of you know, but for those of you who don't, Marty's an old-time insurance person. He comes from a family agency in the Chicagoland area. He holds the CPCU. He has earned the Associate in Risk Management. And he has a long history in the industry, not only working in a retail shop, but also working for technology vendors and innovators like Delphi Insurance Systems, Applied Systems, Accordient Software, TrustedChoice.com, and others. And it's his unusual background, the merger of actual operations and working for industry innovators that I think makes this conversation particularly interesting. If I were to give it a title, Marty referred to Andy Grove's book, Only the Paranoid Survive. So that might be what I would call this one. Marty's not hesitant to speak his mind and to say, if necessary, what's controversial, in order to, as they say, help people get woke up. And he doesn't hold back in this conversation. We talk about the change in the balance of power in the relationship between the consumer and business and the consumer and the agency, and how that and contemporary technologies are challenging agents, but also how agents are embracing them and exploiting them. And then we talk about Marty's vision of what the agency of the future looks like. So, not much further ado, I do want to remind you, if you have comments, I'm happy to hear them. You can email me at michael@agencyrevolution.com. If you have suggestions for somebody that you would like me to interview, maybe it's somebody that you want me to ask hard questions to, but if you have somebody who you think has a perspective on what's happening in this exciting time in the industry right now, please let me know. And perhaps with your help or with the use of your name, I'll track them down and see if they want to be interviewed. Likewise, if you think you have something that is interesting to our audience, then let's talk about it. So again, reach out to me at michael@agencyrevolution.com. That being said, a number of you have, lots of you have asked for copies of my book, I would say pre-galley copies. And so I've sent out lots and lots and lots of them. At this point, I'm going to ask you to wait. Follow me online, and I will let you know when I actually have a published version available. And so let's hold off on that one for now. But thank you for those of you who asked. I hope you got it. I hope you enjoy it on content marketing. And I will bring you up to date on what I'm working on now in the world's happiest casita in Cave Creek, Arizona, which is my annual, perhaps somewhat late, but annual State of the Industry report, in which I am analyzing what I consider, based on considerable research, to be the four most powerful trends that agents need to be aware of and how they should respond to them. So I am not done with it yet, and I do have a busy week or two ahead of me. But if you'd like a copy, I'm going to be hopefully finishing it up very shortly. If you'd like a copy, you can ask for that, and I will get you a copy probably in advance of the actual publication. Just email me, michael@agencyrevolution.com, and say something like State of the Industry Address or State of the Industry Report. I'll know what you're talking about, and I'll just send it to the email address that I got your email from. So now, without further ado, it is my privilege to introduce you to this conversation with Marty Agather. Hello, everybody. Michael Janz. I'm pleased to introduce you to my friend, longtime associate in the industry, Marty Agather. Marty, how are you?
I am great, Michael. How are you today?
Well, I'm doing fantastic. I just remembered a very short story, which I will tell quickly, and then we'll move on. When you and I first met, you bailed me out of a serious problem. Do you recall what that was?
I do. There was a technical connection issue.
I was about to give a keynote presentation to a group, and you were in the audience, and we were kind of doing the test. It was like right after lunch. You happened to be there, and they didn't have a way for me to connect my Mac to their projector. And I was like, well, there goes my keynote presentation. And Marty Agather says, let me run up to my room. I might be able to fix this. Bam. So I'm still indebted to you for that. So thank you very much.
You are very welcome. I call that my magic bag of tricks, and it continues to expand with every connector known to man, because you don't know what you need when you need it.
And ever since then, I now travel with a magic bag of tricks that is so big that AV people just, you know, sort of gasp in delight when I show up, because I can pretty much connect anything to anything if I give a keynote presentation. So it was a big lesson for me. Even though the host organization said, no problem, we can do that. It's always good to be responsible for your own AV. So without further ado, let's get started on this conversation. Marty, I thought that we could start by having you give us a very quick kind of thumbnail of the how you got from the early days independent insurance agent in the family business in Chicagoland to where you are today with a long history of involvement in technology and software and providing services to independent insurance agents.
Sure, absolutely. I might start even earlier than that. So my dad was a career military officer and was teaching at West Point when I was in junior high school. And I actually got to play on one of the few computers that existed in the country at the time. This was the late 1960s, the military and the premier military college, West Point, would have access to a computer. So my buddy's dad was the head of the math department, and so we used to run in on the weekends and play on one of the few computers that existed. We played some Star Trek games. So fast forward through high school, where we had access to computers, to college, to joining the agency. I always had a bent for technology. After 10 years in the agency, I was, instrumental in our user group for our management system. I pioneered some new stuff on the management system, was teaching the management system to other agents around the country. I decided that, my true love was technology. When you looked at where the world was going, technology was clearly a growth industry, and I made the transition to a management system vendor. I worked for a couple of different agency management system vendors in a number of roles. I then got into, for one of those vendors, I got into the comparative rating space, and I ran their comparative rating division. That led to a number of other opportunities in the industry, and ultimately, given the web and the acceleration of that, I have been over the past half a dozen years or more sort of focused on how do new technologies apply to the business that we do. I've always been a supporter of the independent agency system, and how do we empower independent agents to leverage that technology to move their businesses forward.
All right, let's circle in or zero in on some of those technologies that you think are really making a difference right now. And so obviously there are a lot, so let's kind of break it into chunks. There are those who, there are those technologies that are disruptive, or at least people say that they are disruptive. And there are those that are impending. In other words, the prognosticators, the pundits in the industry are looking at the future and they're looking at where investments in venture capital are being made. And they're saying there's even more disruption coming down the pike. It's a very common saying among a lot of my client base who's, let's say, second generation, that, you know, they're saying it's not my father's agency anymore. But we also hear it's not my father's insurance industry anymore. So when you look at the landscape, Marty, and you look at technologies that you think are making a dramatic or radical difference, what do you think they are and what do you think they're going to do?
Sure. So I might divide the spectrum a little bit more granularly than you just did. I think there are some technologies which are evolutionary, right? And those are just facilitating business the way we've known to do it in the past. And Andrew Grove, who's the former chairman of Intel, the chip company that's mm-hmm. in most IBM PCs, had a term for this. But essentially, where disruption comes into play is when, if you don't respond, it potentially threatens the life of your business, right? So
right.
His book, for those of you who want to read it, Only the Paranoid Survive, a great, great book about how we need to be on our toes at all times in business. The disruptive technologies that are coming to fruition now are based on any number of things, but I think one of the big things that's enabling it is some of the technological change that's taking place in the world. Some of that's consumer-focused technology. Other is completely industrial-scale information technology stuff, sort of, you know, the Internet of Things or potentially big data, right? These are all buzzwords that we've heard. But I think one of the big changes has just been sort of how the consumer has been educated that they now have a much different role than they used to in the past.
I want to ask your opinion on that. Let's talk about how the consumer perceives the change in their role or in their relationship with business or with insurance agencies and how that's different than what it used to be. What do you think, what is that difference?
Sure. So in the past, there was a firewall between the detailed information about virtually any product or service and the consumer. There was really no way for the consumer to access, absent an incredible amount of research, to find out much about that product. So the relationship, if we talk specifically about insurance, or let's talk even new cars, the information about that new car was at the dealership, and that was really the only place you could get it. So you went to go see the expert, the car dealer, and hopefully you found a salesperson who was willing to walk you through all the options and tell you about all the features and benefits of the new vehicle, right?
Mm-hmm.
Today, the internet has broken down those barriers. So whereas a trusted professional such as an insurance agent or an attorney or even a doctor, prior to the internet was the gatekeeper of all that information, now much of that information, it may not be 100% technically defined for the consumer, but much of that information is available at their fingertips. So that's the first thing, is that they've said, you know what, I can go educate myself on this if I want to. The second thing is, obviously, there's been a new tool that's been introduced, and that is this in-our-pocket, always-on computer that has an instant connection to almost all of the information in the world, right, via the internet. And so those two things connected, the fact that the consumer says, I can do this, I've been empowered to do some of the research on my own, and number two, the fact that they have this ubiquitous connection and access to the information has sort of changed the nature of the consumer when they arrive at the point of purchase. They are far more educated than they have been in the past.
You raised a really interesting point a moment ago where you essentially you said that the expert and the salesperson were the same person.
Correct.
And to a consumer, that can raise barriers of suspicion or skepticism, right?
Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
I mean, it's like I'm going to somebody for all the answers, and clearly it's in their interest to skew me in a certain direction. Now there has been a shift. So would you say that the balance of power has shifted? So even setting aside whether or not the information that the consumer has is accurate, let's just, you know, make that notwithstanding, they come with at least the perception that they're well armed with information in many situations. So the balance of power has shifted.
Yeah, without question, and I think you bring up a very interesting point too, and I haven't even ever identified this before, but I think if you think about the nature of, the culture in the U.S., and you and I are both of a frame of perspective where we can appreciate this, you know, the 60s sort of changed the I believe anything someone in power tells me, and that has only accelerated and, you know, is rampant in the past, you know, whatever, call it half dozen years. And so this skepticism, this natural skepticism, right, I like to say that we all have our BS detectors turned up to high all the time. And that makes a salesperson or an expert's job that much harder, because I'm looking for genuine signals that you're in this for my best interest, not your best interest.
Can I suggest that you know, you and I as boomers, we may have been sort of pioneers in skepticism, right? But the millennials have made a righteous art of this, and sociologists I think would tell us that their life experience was such that they probably legitimately came to distrust corporations and large corporations and government in general. So their antenna for authenticity or transparency, alignment of interest, is fairly highly refined. Agree?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. You know, another factor of this that you remind me of is this whole concept, which it's sort of gone out of favor now, but there was this concept of latchkey kids, remember?
Yeah.
They were the kids who had to take care, because both mom and dad were out of the house.
Right.
They had to take care of themselves. And so now think about where they are in their professional life. They're trying to take care of themselves the same way that they always have, which means ain't nobody going to take care of it for me but me, so I better do a good job.
All right. So circling back, Marty, how do you think this, if this is true, that the balance of power has shifted, the consumer has more power in the relationship, certainly than they used to have, and maybe they have more power than the vendor has, and they have access, they're connected virtually 24 hours a day. What is this, strategically, how do you think the agent needs to change behavior?
Sure. So you know, When I talk about the buying cycle, there are a number of segments, right? And so this morning, you were not thinking about getting a new car until you tried to back out of the driveway and your car gave up its last ghost, right? So now, I call that a triggering event. So most people, unlike us who are insurance professionals, don't think about insurance at all until something insurance worthy happens. Right?
Right?
Might be something in their life. They purchase a home. They buy a new car. Might be something that happens to a friend of theirs. Somebody had a fire and they weren't insured, right? Those things all of a sudden go, holy cats, maybe I better think about that, right?
Yeah.
So then they go into the awareness phase, which is where they're doing research. And as we just discussed, where are they doing that research? Online. And during that research phase, they may not even know what they're looking for, but they're at least sort of absorbing some facts. Then they get into consideration, which is, okay, I know that I actually need a renter's policy, so now what am I going to do to find a renter's policy? And they start doing research on best renter's insurance companies or whatever, right?
Right.
Renter's insurance agencies.
And the research will ultimately lead also to reviews.
Correct.
Right.
Right. And so then, based on all of that, I have winnowed down a list that might have had 6, 8, 10 options into a small handful, which are my go-to decisions. And now I go into sort of the buying research, right? So I know that I want to buy from these three potential vendors, these three agents, these three carriers. Now I start to research, you know, claims experience, XYZ, right?
Right.
And so, and I also, then I might go out for, as you said, reviews or reaching to my social network. Hey, has anybody had an experience like this? So when you ask how does this change the way an agency needs to think, the agency has to have a suite of capabilities that are available to the consumer as they move through those various phases.
All right. So I want to circle back to that because you raised a critical question, and one that also happens to be near and dear, to the heart of the host company of this podcast, Agency Revolution. Before we do that, referring to Andy Grove's book, Only the Paranoid Survive, what do you think today's insurance agent needs to be appropriately paranoid about? And then I want to dig into more on how they survive. But what are those threats that you think are most imminent or most present today that need to be on the mind of an agent who's willing to think strategically, not merely think day to day?
Sure. So one of the biggest areas that I think they need to be incredibly cognizant of is, how do I deal, and this is an area that's near and dear to your heart, how do I deal with my existing customers to make sure that I am continuously reminding them of my ability to service them, of what I've done, of how I might be able to help them as their risks and needs change moving forward. So the whole idea of us writing a piece of business, putting it to bed, and then somehow, whether it's 11 months later or potentially, in the worst case, 4 or 5 years later, reaching out and saying, hey, I hope everything's going all right, Michael. Should we get together for a cup of coffee? You know, that is behavior that is counterproductive at best in this world. So that would be the first thing that I would suggest.
Can I also suggest that it's easy to overcome today with today's technologies?
So absolutely it is, but this gets back to what we should be paranoid of. And
yeah,
what we should be paranoid of is complacency. The fact that what worked in the past is going to continue to work ad infinitum moving forward. And so just because we didn't need that technology 3, 5, 10 years ago doesn't mean that it's not a vital component of what we have, of what we must have in order to be viable moving forward. Now, I am not suggesting by any way, shape, or form that if you don't adopt the product du jour tomorrow, that your agency is going to roll up and blow away. We know that's not true. Right?
Well, to some extent, Marty, isn't that the problem? Is that we can get through another day, another week, another month, maybe another year without appropriately connecting with our marketplace, and it seems like we're okay. But at some point, if agents keep procrastinating certain key decisions, don't you think they're in trouble?
Well, absolutely, and I think at some point, agency leadership has to climb out of their comfort zone, right? By and large, not in all cases, but by and large, much of agency leadership are producers. Day in and day out, they go out, they hunt the gnarly beast, they slay it, and they drag it home, right? They're small businessmen and women. That's what they do. However, if that's all they focus on, their agency languishes because nobody's thinking about the strategic thought. I would suggest that a better route for many agency principals is to move away from that which makes you most comfortable, day-to-day production, and move into those areas of management that are going to provide strategic advantage
for you and your staff moving
forward.
There's some discomfort there, not just because the traditional role, the thing I've been doing successfully for 10, 20, or 30 years, is something I do well, but there's also some discomfort because it's a revenue generator, right?
That is correct.
Okay. It's interesting that you're saying this because this morning I've been doing prep work for the mastermind group that I facilitate. And I suppose for the 1,000,000th time, this is an area of focus that I'm bringing to their attention. And it reminds me of a book that was probably published over 30 years ago, The E-Myth, where Michael Gerber said that the problem with most entrepreneurs is they're really not entrepreneurs. They're technicians who have a job, and they call it a business. And the perpetuation of that, when you see the perpetuation of that across an entire industry, then generally that industry is in some trouble. So let's talk about that. We're looking at some disruption. We're looking at venture capital eyeing this space with drooling with the possibility of how much money flows through insurance. And there are those who feel that the independent agency system might be archaic and that at least there's certain element of the demographic that's willing to purchase insurance without an agent and to use technologies with which they're fairly comfortable. What do you think about that?
Well, there is no question that there is small portion, something less than 30% of personal insurance buyers today have shown a desire to literally move away from any human intervention, any human interaction, and purchase online.
Mm-hmm.
30% of the market is in no way, shape, or form a small number, right? That
Right.
The round number is probably $100 billion here in the U.S. every year in renewal premiums.
Right.
The remaining 70% still is looking at this point for the human interaction and help of a human. One of the studies I saw recently said that small commercial. The other thing I would be paranoid about that I think agency ownership should be paranoid about is the fact that the belief that the status quo has always been we are survivors, we will survive. All those other players don't know how complicated our industry is. They're going to get their heads handed to them after they've been here a little while. Because primarily that's the shield that we've been able to hide behind or operate behind, right? We've built this huge wall of technology, of skills, of language that prevent sort of the usurpers from coming in. Unfortunately, there are chinks in that wall.
Right.
And I believe that if you shelter behind the they all failed before, so therefore they are going to fail again, I'm not convinced that that's the case.
The past does not equal the future. And you and I have been around long enough to be able to probably label or put names to some of the fights that the industry's gone through before, where we said, oh, my got, you know, banks and insurance and so on and so forth. And we seem to get on the other side of it. However, I'll remind or inform the audience that, you know, it wasn't long before I came into the industry. There were roughly 80,000 independent insurance agencies. And we did go through a serious consolidation, because in the U.S., most estimates would put us somewhere around 40,000 now. There was a period, going back 30-ish years, there was a long, soft market. There was also, interestingly, there was pressure from technology, because agency management systems were emerging as a new technology. And not everybody was able to sustain the pressures of the long, soft market. Not everybody was interested in making the technological shift. And so we saw a lot of consolidation, a lot of mergers, and in some cases, agencies just sort of riding out the tail and going out of business. I'm very hesitant to make predictions about the future, but I do think, Marty, would you agree that saying that we have, you know, survived trouble, we've survived threats in the past, is not tantamount to strategy?
No, agreed. And I think another huge issue that addresses the number of agencies is, as you said before, the amount of money. You were, I think, talking more from the insurtech space in terms of VCs.
Yeah, right.
But we know that there's a ton of private equity chasing agencies now, right?
Yeah,
things for valuation.
Right, right. So we're seeing venture capital throw billions plus into disruptive startups, and we're seeing private equity throw considerable hundreds of millions into acquisitions, which then become sort of super agencies, mega agencies. So let's talk about that one for a moment, since you raised that. That changes the landscape of the industry a lot. You know, we never know how long that private equity money is going to last in this space, because things do come and go, depending, largely on global conditions that are far outside of our control. But clearly, there's active private equity acquisition going on in the industry right now, and we are seeing more and more of these mega agencies operating, sometimes, you know, differently than each other, but nonetheless, a sort of consolidation at the top. How do you think that's going to change the industry?
Well, I think it exacerbates a trend that has, been going on for some time, and that is, if you are a small independent agency brokerage, it's difficult to have the same clout with a large number of carriers that a member of one of these larger entities can have, right?
Right.
And so, because you don't have the production capability, you don't have the growth, you may not have the growth capacity, you don't get perhaps the level of relationship with that carrier moving forward. We all know that underwriting guidelines are hard and fast unless there's a relationship, right? Mm-hmm. And that's really what makes this business so great, is we develop a relationship and we can bend the rules a little bit to get the coverage placed. Well, if you are a small producer, that doesn't necessarily happen as frequently or, with the impact that you need it to in order to be successful. So what happens is, the big get bigger, the small get left behind.
All right. I'm not going to leave this point, because you and I are both advocates of I think, the entire industry and not just the big ones.
Absolutely.
And so, but I want to make a point and get your thoughts on this. Michael Porter said, some years ago, and many consider him to be the godfather of business strategy, that lacking legitimate innovation and strategic direction, many companies rely on acquisition for growth, but that's not a replacement for strategy. So in other words, merely getting bigger doesn't make you necessarily or inherently better. Now, what it does do in our industry is clearly it does seem to give you more leverage upstream with the carriers because they have to pay attention to those that control that much volume. But if they're merely bigger and not better, it doesn't solve the problem downstream, which is the relationship with the consumer. So it would seem, I mean, clearly, I think now more than ever, it's clearly in the interest of every agency to get bigger. But there are a couple of ways to do that. One is acquisition, which is fine. But another way is to grow organically, which is to grow downstream, increase the relationship with the marketplace and get more customers, keep them longer, get more revenue per customer. Part of what I do when I get an opportunity, I like to sort of offer a word of caution to the mega acquirers, and attempt to remind them that merely getting bigger doesn't solve all the problems, and it could leave you vulnerable. But I also think that there's a lesson here for every independent agency, is that if you don't have the volume that gets you the attention that you want with the carriers, you can still grow considerably by solving that problem, the relationship problem with the consumers. And carriers will note that as well. As some of my clients, I've got clients who are growing 30, 35% or more a year. If you're able to do that, then your carrier pays attention to you. So,
absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely.
So where do we go? Yeah. A few moments ago, you said that the agency of today should have, I think you use like a suite of tools or a suite of capabilities. What do you think? What are they?
So the first thing that I would say is that, I'm a firm believer that the days of an agency being able to be an agency can still make its way in today's insurance environment by being a generalist. But I would tell you that if an agency wants to really embark upon growth and profitability, that specializing is a great way to do that. I'm sure you've got some opinions on that too, but I did want to say this. I have a friend who said this the other day, and I thought it was extraordinarily appropriate.
Yeah.
Is a way to revenue. Operations is the way to profit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so this goes back to our leadership discussion of a few minutes ago. Agency principals have to be less focused on getting the next dollar in the door and more focused on what do we do to streamline this organization to make sure that we're chasing profitable business rather than running unprofitable business that drops off the books after 18 months through the doors day in and day out.
Got it. Can I add something to that?
Yeah.
I think that and this is Michael's professional opinion, so people are allowed to disagree as much as they want to. I think that in addition to chasing profitable business, a critical role of the entrepreneur, critical role of agency leadership is to create the customer journey or to create the experience that it maximizes profitability. So, and I'm saying that because there's so much emphasis in our industry on getting more leads, I make the phones ring, which is, that's a really fine and important part of a comprehensive marketing system, the architecture of a marketing system. But in our industry, it seems like we don't pay nearly enough attention, put nearly enough resource into building the systems that then take that new customer and turn them into a raving fan. And it would seem that if the real growth and profitability comes from maximum customer lifetime value, as you said, agency principals shouldn't just be producers. They need to be entrepreneurs. A critical part of being an entrepreneur is building the entire customer relationship system. So there's my soapbox.
That is absolutely correct. So if we go back to our the new customer buying cycle, right? We first talked about the trigger event, awareness, consideration, the buying process. The next part of that is experience, right?
Right.
And that's where, and ultimately what we want is we want them to, A, become an advocate for us, which helps us then acquire new customers and gives the social proof when somebody says, how was your experience with the JANS agency? But more importantly, we want them to renew, right? And that's what you're talking about.
Right.
And more importantly than that, we want them to account round
right.
voluntarily. We want them to come and say, hey, you know, I haven't even thought about this, but I've got this, you know, vacation home that I'd like you to cover that I've got somewhere else.
Yeah.
Holy smokes, I didn't even have to ask you for that, right?
Right.
So a perfect example of that is, have you created in your agency a delineated, on paper, followed regularly on new customer onboarding procedure?
Mm-hmm. Got
right
it.
There should
yes.
be. You probably you probably got some ideas on this too, but there should be a number of emails. Hi, thanks for if the principal didn't write it, the agency owner, then maybe there's an email that comes from the agency owner. There's an email that comes from, hi, I'm Marty, your service representative, and I'm here at any time, and I'm going to be scheduling a follow-up call with you in 3 months to make sure that, you know, and whatever that process looks like, that's a critical part of that first, when we get the check, that's not the end of the job, that's the starting of the job. Forget about the claim. The claim is that's the delivery of the promise. The job is convincing that consumer at their moment of indecision or concern. Did I make right? A buyer's remorse. Did I make the right decision? Convincing them that not only did they make the right decision, it's better than they thought it could ever be.
Are you setting me up for a shameless pitch for Agency Revolution? Or
wasn't really, but you know,
yeah.
it's such an underappreciated thing these days. Again, because in the past we didn't have to worry about it.
Well, we've always said that this is a relationship business, and yet. As the industry's grown and agencies have grown, and so you know you've got an agency with let's say 5,000 customers, if you want to put the fear into the eyes of an agency principal, ask them how do you feel? How deep is your relationship with those 5,000 customers? You know, are they going to recognize you? Or are you going to recognize them when you run into them at the grocery store? We've gotten to the point where we've simply outgrown the old school kind of relationship, and so the only solution to those problems involve technology. So, from your point of view, what's that?
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, part of the problem is that as our time becomes ever more compressed,
yeah,
and we depend on technology to keep us on track, we need the one-on-one interactions, while still highly important and appropriate in the right time and reason, those move, they recede, and we need to leverage technology in many forms to do that ongoing nurture.
So, Marty, what do you think the agency of the future looks like, let's say, no more than 3 years from now? How is it different than, you know, what I'd characterize as the old school agency?
Sure. First and foremost, I'm a big, you know, having sort of come up through the agency management system, first on the agency side and then on the vendor side, I'm a firm believer that you need to dedicate resources to not just maintaining your proficiency with your management system, but to increasing it. That product is so central to your agency's life.
Right.
As a management system vendor in one of my prior incarnations, I would go into an agency. I'd go to the JANS agency, and you know Michael would tell me, well, you know we can no longer use the XYZ system because it doesn't do an endorsement request.
Right.
Well, I know damn well that it does an endorsement request. You just haven't figured out, you know, or the woman who knew how to do it left. and now it doesn't. Now you don't think it does, right?
Right.
So that's the first piece. Then there is somebody has got to be scanning the technology spectrum for all of the new opportunities for you to grow your efficiency, to get closer to your customer, to help your preferred customer segments understand that your agency is the expert, right? The way I describe this is, back in the day, any doctor would do. Today, if you've got a heart problem, you want the best heart specialist in the country, right?
Right.
And so, again, going back to our, we offer insurance to anybody for any problem, doesn't resonate with me when I'm looking for a very specific cyber liability coverage that somebody talked about at the club meeting the other day.
Got it.
So that's number two.
Mm-hmm.
Scanning, experimenting, working with your carriers. Okay, I believe that the agencies who are really focused on growth and on surviving for the long term, maximizing the value of that agency, the financial asset that exists for the ownership of that agency, they will work more closely with a smaller number of technologically capable carriers.
Ah, yes.
Carriers who understand the vital nature of connecting the consumer, the insurance buyer, to the agency and to the experience.
Got it. All right. I have two more questions for you.
Sure.
All right. And the first one plays off of what you just said. While I think the majority of our audience tend to be independent insurance agents and brokers, it's no secret to me that a lot of our listeners represent vendors and carriers. So because carriers are such a very important part of the success equation for the agent, if you were going to deliver a message to the executive rooms and boardrooms of insurance carriers, what would you say?
We are on the threshold of some dramatic changes in the industry. It's easy to dismiss the new players because they are writing what may be considered inconsequential lines of business.
Mm-hmm.
Understand that in an industry agnostic way, this is the way all incumbents in an industry are assaulted. They are assaulted at the margins. It is never a direct attack on the cash cows.
Yeah,
of the business.
Good point. Okay.
So understand that there are real changes that are taking place, and that improvements will continue to be made, and that those competitors are going to move upstream. Knowing that that's the case, and that those competitors are looking to displace your relationship with the insurance buying public via the intermediary, the agent, because the agent doesn't have the necessary toolkit, you need to be in the business of aggressively developing enablement tools for your agents to deploy on their consumer's behalf that allows the consumer experience to get as close to what the cutting edge small assaulters are doing as possible. It is not a like to have, it's a must have. And those carriers who ignore that are going to see the challenges.
Well said, and I hope they're listening. Okay, so that gets us to the last question of the day, which is the answer for which, by definition of the question, needs to be much shorter. If you could imagine the insurance industry driving down insurance highway at 65 or 70 miles an hour, and you had, seven or eight, nine words that you could put on a billboard and deliver one message to the industry, what would you put on that billboard?
Holy smokes.
We can wordsmith it later. I know. What's that?
Change is here. Take stock. Take action.
Got it. Okay. I like that. Change is here. Take stock. Take action. Marty, if people want to reach out to you for any number of reasons, how would they do that?
They would address me via email, Marty, M-A-R-T-Y, at magather.com. My last name is spelled A-G-A-T-H-E-R. Marty at M for Marty, agather.com, magather.com.
Got it. All right. Very good. Marty, this has been fun. I really appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to talk to us today. So on behalf of our audience, thank you very, very much.
Thank you for listening to the Connected Insurance Podcast. If you found this episode informative, please share it with your peers and colleagues. Explore the Connected Insurance family of resources for insurance agents and brokers by visiting agencyrevolution.com and clicking media. Subscribe and get updates delivered right to your inbox. New episodes every Wednesday.